been selected, and we have been feasting on these words this weekend. Just a gold mine of truth that will help us all to be pleasing to God. The passage that I have been given is down in verses 9 and 10 of Proverbs 3. And these two verses read as follows. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So we have another commandment to follow with a blessing as a promise. And it sounds kind of ironic to think that if we give something to God, we're not really going to lose anything. He's going to make things even more prosperous for us. How does that work? How do you give up something and then get more? This is the principle, though, that we must learn from God, because our Father in heaven is a giver. And He is a giver, so therefore His children ought also to be givers. The nut shouldn't fall very far from the tree. It shouldn't fall very far from the tree at all. I want us to think about what a great giver God is. And I'll just use this morning as an example. This morning in my life, I can't keep up with all that God has given me. God, first of all, gave me a good night's rest. I went several months last year without having a good night's rest. So I really appreciate that. And when I woke up, I was indoors. I wasn't outside. And I was warm through the cool night. And then I was able to get up out of bed by myself. I was able to shave myself. I was even able to button my buttons today. And I was able to sit down at a table with family who loves me, my son-in-law and two of the grandchildren. My granddaughter is one of the funniest comedians I've ever met. She makes us laugh. She's a happy person and very funny. And the children made me feel welcome. They made me feel loved. And I got to hear them say prayers that they were taught by their father. I got to eat a blueberry and a poppy seed muffin. And then I had a safe trip over here and I got to see all of you. That's just this morning. That's all that God gave me this morning. No, that's not all, but that's a lot of what God gave me just this morning. We're not even talking about the previous 54 years, 9 months, 3 weeks, and 5 days that He's been giving with a perfect, spotless record, always faithful to give. And none of these things, I'm not worthy of any of these things. I haven't done anything to earn any of these things. And yet He's been giving these things to me all the time. That's our Father in heaven. That He's giving all the time. So if I profess to be one of His children, if you profess to be one of His children, then we also should be givers. And when we think about this, it helps us to understand what the wise man is telling us here in Proverbs about giving to the Lord. Give to the Lord. Honor Him with your substance. That word honor is you do things to honor God. You do it by the way you act, by the way you speak. These should all honor God. Point people to God and remind people of how good He is. And here He's telling us you honor Him with your substance, with your possessions, as Brother Dale read to us this morning, with your wealth. And as Brother Marvin pointed out rightly, we are all wealthy. When I looked up this word wealth, substance, it means wealth, and it also, it comes from the idea of, and I thought this was kind of funny, the word it comes from is the word for enough. So aren't we all wealthy? Is there anyone here who doesn't really have enough? People talk about the rich people and how, well, that's more money than anybody can do anything with. You know, they don't deserve to have that much money. But we all have enough. We have enough. We have wealth. We have substance. We have possessions and money that we can work with, that we can bless others with. And that's what the Lord is saying. Honor the Lord with your substance, with your possessions, and with the first fruits of all your increase. The word first fruits is very important to keep in mind here, because that's a way you honor God, is you give Him the first fruits, as opposed to giving Him seconds. Giving Him something that was left over that you weren't going to use anyway. That's not really honor, is it? Honor is to give the first to God. The first thing you get to God. First fruits. This is a lesson on gratitude, on thanksgiving, on being thankful. It's putting your gratitude on display for everyone to see. And they can tell that you're thankful because you're honoring God with your possessions. And I hope this lesson will encourage us all to be givers like our Father in heaven is. He gives faithfully, and so it's up to us to learn to give faithfully. And as Brother Keith said last night in his lesson, these verses do indeed tie together. And this lesson here, I admired Keith for his ability to stay off of this one, because this really is an example of what he was talking about. It's an example of trusting the Lord. Do you trust the Lord to give Him the first fruits of your increase? The Old Testament has some really excellent passages. I'll give you a few of these passages here for you to think about and study. And they tell us the importance of giving, and they explain why it is something that we ought to do. These are eternal principles. We know we are not under the law of Moses, but yet what God teaches us in the law is good for us to think about as we live our lives for Him. Exodus 22, verse 29. Exodus 22, 29 says, "Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with the dam, and on the eighth day thou shalt give it to me. You shall be holy men unto me, neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field, you shall cast it to the dogs." So here the command is, do not delay to give the first fruits. Why is he saying don't delay? Well, because we like to delay, don't we? And think about this when you think of what if you men asked your wives, let's make it the wives. What if you wives asked your husbands, which would you rather be doing today? Would you rather be fishing or would you rather be with me? Now, what if the husband delays in his answer? See, it's not good, is it? Then if he does come up with the right answer, it still won't exactly be accepted, because you had to think about that. Why did you have to think about that? Shouldn't I have been the obvious choice? The wife would say. So what about God? Shouldn't God be the obvious choice instead of delaying and our thinking, well, I wonder if I know I should give this to God, but I'll give it to God. See, there's something missing there, isn't there? Don't delay. Don't delay to give God the best, the first fruits of all of your increase. Now, a lot of this, of course, sounds more agricultural, and most of us here aren't used to that. I mean, at least we aren't practicing that now. Most of us here aren't farmers, and a lot of us don't even raise a garden. But this is applying to our financial means. It's how we make a living. God is asking for the first of it. Exodus 23:19 and Exodus 34:26 are the very same verses Exodus 23:19, Exodus 34:26. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring to the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. And Exodus 34:26, same thing. God's asking for the first fruits, and he says, when you get the first fruits, bring it to the house of the Lord. And then he says, don't see the kid in his mother's milk. Don't boil the little baby goat in his mother's milk. Now, what does that have to do with giving your first fruits to the Lord? Why did he put those two together? It's not an aside. It's not an afterthought. Oh, by the way, don't boil the kid in the mother's milk. There is apparently a connection here to the idea of giving the Lord the first fruits. Giving the Lord the first fruits is an act of faith. It is done to honor God. And you do it trusting the Lord. What did the pagans do? What did the pagans do? Well, the pagans would do some of that too. And some of them were very good at it. But the pagans had a practice that God didn't want his people to follow. He didn't want them to learn the way of the heathen. And what the pagans would do, they would take a baby goat and they would boil it in its mother's milk. And they would take that milk as though it was magic milk and they would sprinkle it on their fields. And that, they thought, would please the gods, and the gods then would prosper them the next year. God's not telling us to do that. You don't need magic. You don't need pagan practices to get an increase. You trust God, and when you get your first fruits, give him your first fruits. Give him your first fruits. And what's the promise here in Proverbs 3? Your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with new wine. You are going to prove that you cannot outgive God. You gave him your best, you gave him your first, and he's going to give you more. That's what God's trying to teach us here. So don't follow any superstitious practices trying to increase your wealth and things like that. Follow God. Honor him with your first fruits. Exodus 34, verses 18 through 27. The feast of unleavened bread, this is Exodus 34:18-27. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, in the time of the month Abib. For in the month Abib thou camest out from Egypt. All that opens the matrix is mine. Every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep that is male, but the firstling of a donkey thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if you redeem him not, then you shall break his neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Now, and we won't read the rest of that, but that's good for you to think about. Notice here that there are these feasts that they are to observe. They are to observe, first of all, the Passover. The Passover comes first. And we understand why that would be first, because that's about being saved. You've got to be saved first. You know, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, then what good does it do if you give to the Lord? You could be an unsaved person and you could lay by in store, give in the collection, but it's really not going to profit you unless you're a Christian. So the first feast to keep is the feast of the Passover. For us today as Christians, we don't keep the Jewish Passover feast, but we remember our Passover, Christ. This is our salvation here. And then we keep the feast of the unleavened bread. For one whole week, you are not to have any leaven in the house. No yeast. And Paul explains that yeast in 1 Corinthians 5 as the yeast of malice and wickedness, the old yeast. Get rid of all of that stuff, and for 1 week, Be clean. Be free of yeast. Keep the feast of unleavened bread with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And then if you do that for a week, what happens next? Well, you're back to the Passover again. You remember the Lord's death again on the first day of the week. You give God the first day of the week. You give God your first fruits. So remember these feasts in order. The Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and then you have Pentecost, which was not only the giving of the law, but Pentecost was where they gave their first fruits. In that nice climate over there in Israel, they started gathering things in, started reaping a harvest in the spring. Well, when you get your first fruits, bring your first fruits to the Lord. That's the way God wanted His people to do it then, and we can do that as well by giving to the Lord the best of what we have, the first of what we have. Deuteronomy chapter 26 is such a nice passage. Deuteronomy 26, beginning in verse 1 and going down to verse 11. It shall be, Deuteronomy 26, verse 1, it shall be when you are come into the land which the Lord thy God gives thee for an inheritance and possesses it and dwells therein, that you shall take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which you shall bring of thy hand that the Lord thy God giveth thee, bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket. I like that picture. Take your first fruits in this land that God's given you. Take the first fruits and put it in a basket. And what do we do with this basket? Go to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And that would, of course, be Jerusalem. And you shall go unto the priest that shall be in those days and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God. And I love this expression. A Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord, the God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. And he has brought us into this place, and has given us this land, even a land that flows with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given unto you, and unto your house, you and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Isn't that good? That is really good. That's so simple. When you get into this land that God's going to give you and you get your harvest, you give him the first fruits and you put the first fruits in the basket, you take it to the priest, and you profess that this is what the Lord has given us in the land that he's given to us. And then to remember your history. How many of us remember our history? God wanted his people to remember it. Who was my father? He was a Syrian ready to perish. Do you ever think of Abraham as a Syrian? I thought he was a Jew. I thought he was a Hebrew. He was the father of he was a Syrian. He never owned any property except for the burial place for his family. But he didn't own any property in Israel. He was a Syrian ready to perish. He and Sarah didn't have any children. They were past the age where you could have children. They were ready to perish. This is what God did. God brought a great nation out of that Syrian ready to perish. And even though they went down to Egypt and multiplied there, they were oppressed by the Egyptians. And they cried out to the Lord to deliver them from this oppression. This is what God did for His people. And now here we are, the Jew was supposed to say. We're living in the land flowing with milk and honey. This is what God has done for us. So we gladly bring this basket of first fruits to the Lord and worship Him. And what's God say you need to do now, now that you brought the first fruits? He says, I want you to enjoy what I've given you. Now, will you enjoy it? Do you enjoy what God's given you? No complaints? No murmuring? No grouchy? Are you enjoying what God's given you? Or are you thinking about what you'd rather have? Or are you looking at other people and envious of them? Are you enjoying what God's given you? That's what God wants. He wants you to enjoy what He gave you. Be thankful. And when you enjoy what God gives you, then you're a giver. You're glad to give back to Him. Lord, I freely received this. I'm freely giving it back. And we're only giving a portion. What's really embarrassing about this is that even the pagans gave the first fruits to God. And I believe they got that idea from the Lord. But there's a writer in the 3rd century AD, a pagan, who was writing about his pagan heritage and everything. He said, his name is Censorinus. He said, our ancestors who held their food, their country, the light, and all that they possessed from the bounty of the gods, they consecrated to them a part of all their property rather as a token of their gratitude than from a conviction that the gods needed anything. Therefore, as soon as the harvest was got in, before they had tasted the fruits, they appointed libations to be made to the gods. And as they held their fields and cities as gifts from the gods, they consecrated a certain part for temples and shrines where they might worship Him. Pliny also, the historian, brings this out. He says he attested that the Romans never tasted either their new corn or wine till the priests had offered the first fruits to the gods. Horace, the historian, also says the same thing. He said that they not only offered their first fruits, but the choicest of all their fruits to the household gods. And he shows the wickedness of those who would send these as presents to the rich before the gods had thus been honored. So they had a pretty high moral standard as far as giving to the gods. Are you going to let a pagan show gratitude, more gratitude to false gods than you do to the true and living God? God's asking us to honor Him with the first fruits. Honor Him with your wealth. Honor Him with your substance. And in return, enjoy what He gives you. And God will give you more. He will make your barns full. He will make your vats burst with new wine. God will take care of us. We must not forget God, as Deuteronomy chapter 8 says. Don't forget God. Don't get into this land flowing with milk and honey. And that's the way our country is. And don't get into this land and then forget about God. One of the ways you forget about God is you start taking the credit for what you've got. You say, like Deuteronomy 8 says, the power of my hand has got me this wealth. Well, how did you get power in your hand? You got the power in your hand from God, didn't you? That's how you got these things, is because God was able to give you the strength and health to make a living. So we don't want to forget God. Remember when the children of Israel took Jericho? You know what Jericho was? It was the first fruits, wasn't it? And that's why it was accursed. That's why it was set aside. And that's why no one was supposed to take any of the spoils when they went in. says all of the gold and the silver in Jericho is supposed to go to the house of the Lord. And that's why Achan's sin was even worse than just simply stealing. He was taking something from the treasury of the Lord. He was robbing God. This land was a gift from God, and Jericho was the first fruit, so God said, let all of that belong to me. And then you'll get the rest of the land. You'll get all the rest of it, and you can enjoy it. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, there's a passage there that you can compare with this. And that's, of course, the passage where God says, will a man rob God? Which at first sounds kind of odd, or like, well, who could rob God? How could anybody steal anything from God? And yet God says, you've been robbing me in tithes and offerings. All this time you could have been giving me your best, giving me of your first fruits, and you've been holding it back for yourself. You've been robbing God. One preacher was giving a lesson a long time ago, and he applied this to other things besides money. He applied it to your children. You know, you've been given children, many of you here, like me. We've got children. Are we going to rob God of those children by not raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? That would be robbing God of what rightfully belongs to Him. These are souls that can be raised up to be Christians and to follow the Lord. Will I rob God by depriving them of that education, of that training that we need to become Christians? Don't rob God. Don't keep back from God the things that belong to Him. Remember in that passage in Exodus, it said that everybody, all the firstborn, belonged to God. Well, the only way they could keep their firstborn was to redeem them. To redeem them. They had to bring an offering to God so that they could keep that firstborn. But all of it belonged to God. Because God is the one who is the original giver. Not me. I'm not the original giver. I didn't give anything to God first. I didn't give anything to anybody first. God gave it all to me first. And now He waits for our response to His giving. So in giving, brethren, we should realize that we're giving not to the Lord, as been pointed out. In other words, God doesn't need the money. As the psalmist said in Psalm 50, he said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you for anything to eat. I'm pretty limited. Imagine God asking me for something to eat. I would be helpless. I wouldn't have anything to give Him. So God doesn't need my money either. But when we give our money to God, we are actually giving it to one another, aren't we? As Brother Marvin said, we are giving it to each other. The sacrifices in the Old Testament, those benefited the priests. Those benefited God's house. And so today when we give to the Lord, the first thing we think of is giving to the church. Laying by in store on the first day of the week as God has prospered us. That's how we give the first fruits to God. It's one of the ways we can do that. And when we do that, we're doing that because the church uses these funds. The first examples we have are the church used the funds to help brethren who were going through a famine in Judea. They needed help, so the church had the funds to help them because brethren were willing to give. And that's the way the church is supposed to operate. The church also can use those funds to support the work of spreading the gospel. Those who labor of the gospel have a right to be supported by that as well. These are the ways we benefit others by giving to the Lord. Now, giving to the Lord and His church is not the only way we give. Some people have limited it to that, but there are other ways you can give. There are people you can help individually. Helping your family falls under that category of being a cheerful giver, being glad to spend this money on your family instead of thinking of all the things you could have done with that money for yourself. God wants us to be cheerful givers and give to others. Remember the poor. Remember the law in Leviticus 23, verse 22, which said, when you harvest your fields, leave the corners. Leave the corners there, and that way the poor can go out and gather food for themselves. See, the poor still had some work to do, but at least you left them some grain that they could help themselves to. So remember the poor. That's what we are to do also under Christ as well. Remember in Galatians where Paul talks about meeting with the Jewish leaders. He said, they didn't teach me. They weren't the ones that gave me my assignment as an apostle. But what we did agree on was they wanted us to remember the poor, and that's what we wanted to do anyway. So we agreed on remembering the poor. It's just basic. It's just fundamental to being a Christian as we think of those that are not as well off as we are. And we try to help them in whatever ways we can. Remembering others is so important. So, I want to mention a good brother in Christ who really helped me many years ago when Luann and I were first married and we were just getting started. Wilfred and Mary Landis were like parents to us. They were our neighbors for a while over in Lexington. And one of the things that Wilfred helped me with was he talked about how he gave to the Lord. He didn't tell me how much he gave because that was not my business. But he did tell me how he gave, and I think he was right. He was basing it upon these principles that we've been talking about this morning. He said that whenever he got his check, the first check that he wrote was a check to the Lord. Before you write any other checks, and you do have to pay your bills, but before you pay those bills, give something to God. Give him the best. Instead of the other way around where you, oh, I got to pay this bill. Oh, I got to make sure that gets paid. Instead of all that and then say, oh, let's see. Oh, yeah, we got to give something to the Lord. That's not honoring God, is it? It's like God was an afterthought. God's not that way, is he? God's too great. He's too mighty. He's too powerful. He's too worthy of praise to treat him that way, like an afterthought. Well, if I can give something. The widow that Marvin talked about this morning. Most people would say she didn't have anything to give, and yet she gave something, did she? She gave something more than all the others combined. And I appreciated Wilfred for teaching us that was a good sound principle, to remember God first before you do the other things. So what we have looked at today, brethren, is the fact that in this passage in Proverbs, one of the wise sayings, one of the great pieces of wisdom that you and I can take into our lives so that we can be wise, is to always remember God with the first fruits. Remember him first. And remember that there's a big difference between first and second, isn't there? Sometimes we want to think that second's pretty good. Well, I got second place. That's pretty good. But when we're talking about God, second place is nothing. It's like not even there. It has to be first. First place. God doesn't want to come in second place in our lives because that's not honoring. God wants to be first because that's the position he deserves. So if we talk about being wise, here's the one of the precepts that will test our faith in God. It will show whether we love God. It will show whether we're thankful by whether or not we give to the Lord the first fruits of our increase. You know, when we help the poor, when we give to the Lord, when we think of those that are not as well off as we are truly being like God. Because what did God do for us? He saved us. He helped us poor people who couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. We tried. We try, and people still keep trying to save themselves, but we can't do it. But God did. He saved us. And so when we're helping those that are not well off, we're giving them something that they couldn't give for themselves. we're truly being like God. I hope that each and every one of us here will be determined from this lesson, from the rest of the lesson this weekend, that we will be like God, and that we will be wise, and that we will be like our Father in heaven, the greatest giver that you could ever imagine. And we get to be His children. Let's act like our Father and be givers as well. As we close the lesson this morning, we appreciate your attention, and we'll offer this invitation. If there's anyone here who isn't a Christian, and you've heard the gospel, how Jesus gave Himself for us, how though He was rich, He became poor so that we could be rich. That's an offer that He's handing to you today. He wants you to accept it, to become one of His children by confessing your faith in Jesus, repenting, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're ready to make that step this morning, we hope you'll do it. And if you are a Christian and have something else to bring before the congregation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.